trust that when we have left, that God will be pleased with our being here because we have done things according to his will. We trust that our time together today might serve as an encouragement to all of us to continue to fight the good fight of faith, that we might lay hold on eternal life. We are all fellow travelers to the grave, and as Brother Greg says when he comes up to sing, that we have that common goal, and that is to get to heaven. So again, we are thankful to be here this evening. Psalms 111 are some passages that we want to share with you tonight, as we will talk about some great works of God. Psalms 111, about the first four verses we want to read this evening as we begin to encourage us toward those great works. Here the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart." And I'm reading from the New King James Version again this evening, these passages anyway. "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great." The King James says, "Sought out by it." This version says, "Studied by all who have pleasure in them." His works, or his work, is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Are you glad tonight that the Lord is a gracious Lord and that he is full of compassion? The works of the Lord are great. That's what we want to talk about this evening. The works of the Lord are great. And again, in verse 2, he says they are sought out, are studied of all them that have pleasure therein. And then he says that these works ought to be remembered. The last verse that I read mentions that the works ought to be remembered. We ought to remember the works of the Lord because they are indeed great. And we ought to praise his name for his great works. In this Psalms, the works of the Lord in the present context, they are his works of redemption for his chosen people, Israel. As a matter of fact, in verse 5 through 9, and we are familiar, I'm sure, with verse number 9. But in verses 5 through 9, the Lord has this to say. He has given meat, or rather the psalmist has this to say. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant. The Lord had made a covenant with his people. Verse 6 says, he had showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Verse 7 says, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verse 8 says, they stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. And then the familiar passage, I'm sure, in verse number 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverent. is his name. Because of his mighty works that he had done for his people, the psalmist says, holy and reverend is his name. And of course, in New Testament context, the redemption is of a spiritual nature, that he has redeemed us from our sins. And because he has done so many wonderful things for us, then we just have to respect his name. His name is holy and reverend is his name. Even in another translation would say, awesome is his name. The Lord is a mighty great Lord, and we have to just praise him for that. And so when we think about his works, then we can understand what the psalmist was saying, that the works of the Lord are great. They are studied, or they are sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Truly, the Lord's works are great. Let's look at some of his works of this evening, that we might remember them and be reminded of them. When we look at his works of creation, we'll have to say that we cannot deny that his works are great. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Could anybody else do that? Nobody but God could create the heaven and the earth. That tells me that that's a great work of God. It is so great, again, until nobody can equal it, and certainly nobody can surpass it. So when we think about the creation, then, we'll have to say that his works are great. His works are so great until they declare the glory and the handiwork of him, his power and his deity. As the psalmist would talk about again in Psalms, a familiar passage in Psalms 19 in verse 1 and 2, where he says there that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In verse 2 he says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The heavens declare his glory, and the firmament his handiwork. That tells us, when we look into the skies and we see the stars and we see the moon and we see the planets, and more scientists are discovering how great and how awesome this universe is. Nobody could put it together but God like that. It's not an accident. You know, they even talk about the earth as being the results of the Big Bang theory. If it was a bang, God banged it. Nobody else could bang it like that. It is a great work of God, and so we are awed by his creation. No wonder the psalmist would say, holy and reverend is his name. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, when Paul talked about those Gentiles who were doing their own thing, if you will, he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that, he says, they are without excuse. He's talking about the great work of God, the invisible things. They are clearly seen, he says, by what God has done. Yes, indeed, we'll have to say then that his creation is one of his great works. And so he says that, again, the psalmist says, these great works of God, they are sought out, they are studied by all those that have pleasure in them. If we really appreciate it, if we really have pleasure in God's great works, we will contemplate those works, and we will just, if you will, meditate on those great works. And even the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, listen to what he says. He says here, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visited him? The psalmist is saying, when I really, truly consider, when I study, when I seek out, when I contemplate on the great works of God, I just have to say, what is man? What is man that God is so mindful of him? Oh, yes, when we look at the flowers and when we look at all of God's beautiful beautiful creation, we just have to say God is a great God. Viewing a starry night, an illustrious sunset, or even just a single flower. You remember the sermon that Marvin Turney preached and shared with us when he talked about that little flower. That's a creation of God. We're just awed by God's creation. So we have to say then that his work of creation is great. And then how do we know about the creation? What did we read from tonight? And what do we read from time to time that tell us about God's creation? What is it? It's God's word. So that's another great work of God, is his word. It is a testimony to his great works in giving his word. And so David even would praise God's word by talking about the value of his word in Psalm 19, verses 7, beginning there. David says this. David says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, he says this. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, he would say this. More to be desired, he says, are they than gold. That's that searching out. That's that, if you will, studying. Notice he says that those that have pleasure, they seek out God's word. They want to study more and more about God's word because it's such a great thing that we have God's word. So he said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, he says this. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And aren't you glad this evening that God warns us in his word about things that are contrary to his will? Otherwise, we'd just go through life being ignorant, not knowing what God's will is. We'll never know when we would transgress his word unless he would warn us of those things that we are not to go beyond. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. When we keep God's word, there's a great reward waiting those that keep his word. No wonder John the Revelator would say in John 14 and verse 13, blessed are they that do his Revelation 20 rather, and verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. That's that reward. And enter in through the gates to the city. Oh, I'm talking about God's great word that should be sought out by all that have pleasure in them. Have we studied? Have we sought out God's word? We mentioned this scripture even this morning. The blessed man that is truly blessed of God is the one that delights in the law of the Lord. That's found in Psalm chapter 1. He meditates on his law, the Bible says, day and night. Yes, indeed. And even more so, we have the life-giving words of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 63, the Bible says this, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. No wonder he would say on another occasion, John 10 and verse 10, that the thief cometh but to kill and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life. Having it, you might have it more abundantly. That abundant life comes through the word of Jesus Christ, which are life. When we obey the word of Jesus Christ and imbibe them in our lives, they give us that wonderful life that we all desperately need. Why? Because these words come from a great God that was passed down to even a great son, Jesus Christ, as he gave it to the Spirit. Through the Spirit, and he inspired the Apostle John to write it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, talks about the greatness of the Word of God. Notice what it says. It said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, God's word is great. God's word is the results of his great work. And so we ought to praise him for his words. Have you studied his word? Have you sought out his word? Are we just using his word just to pass by with just a glimpse? Are we really meditating and studying God's word? Yes, indeed. His words provide comfort. His words provide hope. And his words provide guidance. No wonder, as Paul would write to the church at Rome, when he reminded them about the things that are written aforetime. He said, they are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Not only were the things written aforetime that we might have hope, but the things that were written in the times of the New Testament days, they were written that we might have hope. So then, God's word is a great work. We ought to praise him for it and thank him for it. And then when we talk about his salvation that we learn from his word, that's another great work of God. This morning, scripture that we studied in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Hebrew writer called it a great salvation. So his salvation is great. It was made possible by God's love. John 1 and verse 29, the Bible says John looked up and saw him coming. And he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It was made possible then by the grace and by the love of God. And when John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, notice what he says there. The Bible says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? Live through him. If we're going to ever live spiritually, it's going to be through Christ. Oh, I'm thankful tonight for God's great work of salvation. And then verse 10 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Are you thankful tonight for God sending his Son to die for our sins? It was all made possible because of the grace of God. Titus 2 and 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. It was God's grace as to why we got Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it, but it's God's grace. And we know that's how grace is defined, getting that which we do not deserve. Have you studied? Have you really sought out God's great work in pertaining to our salvation? When we read about what Jesus did for our salvation, how he died and how he was buried and how he rose again the third day, we ought to just be motivated to live like he has taught us to live. Bible says this in Romans chapter 6, another familiar passage, I'm sure, in verse number 3. He says this, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? He goes on and says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If it were not for his resurrection from the dead, we couldn't walk in newness of life. As a matter of fact, if it were not for his resurrection, as Brother Malone referred to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if it were not for his death and for his resurrection, then we among all men would be most miserable. But because of his death and resurrection, we have a hope. We have hope and we have a chance to walk in newness of life. And that's the only way we can see God's face in peace, is for us to walk in newness of life. And all of that was possible because of the grace of God that came through Jesus Christ. So his work of salvation was great. No wonder then the Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I'm saying to us tonight, don't neglect that great salvation. Be thankful for the salvation that came through God's work. Then when we talk about his church, that's a great work of God. It's the greatest institution in the world. There's no institution in the world as great as the church. What makes it so great is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing Christ shed his blood for, was this church and the forgiveness of our sins. He purchased it, the Bible says, with his own blood. So when Paul talked to the Ephesian elders In Ephesians chapter 20 and verse number 28, he says, take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That's Acts 20 and verse 28. That was verse 8 up there, but it's 28 if you're taking notes. He says he purchased it with his own blood. Yes, the church being that great institution, being the greatest institution in the world, it is the bride of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you studied about the church? Are you thankful for the church? For all that God has done for us in the church? Do we appreciate the church? If we appreciate the church, then let's support the church and let's, if you will, tell people about the church. Be thankful for its simplicity in contrast to the denominations in the world today. Jesus' church is a simple institution. It's the greatest institution, and it's a simple institution. All one has to do is just obey the Lord. Don't have to try to worry about trying to obey man-made doctrine. Just obey the Lord. Because it came from the Lord, purchased by the Lord, planned by the Lord. It's a great work of God. And then lastly, his promises, God's promises, are results of his great work. Because of God's promises, we have a great future to look forward to. We can look forward to, number one, the resurrection. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Jesus says this. Jesus says, marvel not at this, the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Not only will they hear his voice, he says, but they will come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's a great promise. That's something to look forward to, that there's going to be a resurrection. Yes, indeed, we can look forward to those new heavens and the new earth that the Bible is talking about. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Notice what he says. He says, seeing then that all these things, verse number 10, had talked about the creation melting with a fervent heat. Then he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, he says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, he says this, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Anybody want to stay here? The Jehovah's Witness say you're going to stay here. I don't want to stay here. I'm looking forward to a new heaven. I'm looking forward to what God has prepared for us. Because in this life, there's misery. In this life, there's pain. In this life, there's sorrow. In this life, there's disappointment. But I know if God makes all things new, all of the former things will pass away. So we have the opportunity then to look forward to new heavens. Revelation 21, John talked about it like this. Verse number 1, he says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Didn't say anything about it being cleansed up. Again, that's what our friend said. He's going to cleanse this one up. It says the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, he says this, and John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Verse 3 says this, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be there, be with them, and be their God. And then verse 4 says this, God shall do what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's something to look forward to, brothers and sisters. All of that comes as a result of the great work of the promises of God. Have you studied them? Have you sought them out? Do you find comfort in those promises? Are we diligently looking forward to those new heavens and the new earth? Again, 2 Peter 3, verse 13 says this, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." That's why we're looking forward to that, because we have pleasure in those things to come. And so we seek out God's word and we find comfort and consolation in his word. We can reflect joyfully on those great promises because indeed they are precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4 says this, "Whereby," the Bible says, "are given unto us exceeding and great," are really exceeding great and precious promises, "that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust." Because of the promises of God, you and I have the opportunity, when we are obedient to the will of God, to be a partaker of the divine nature. Oh yes, God will restore us back to where we once were. Thank God then for his great works. The psalmist says again in Psalms 111, he says this to us again. He says, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever." Verse 4, "He has made his wonderful works to be remembered." The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I say to us tonight as I close, let us never forget the wondrous works of God. Because if we forget his wondrous works, then we're going to think that we are in control. But when we realize that all of these things that we've talked about tonight would not and could not be possible if it had not been for God. But because he is a gracious God, he wants to share these things with us, that they might motivate us to do his will, that we might one day come home to live with him. So let's always remember the works of God. Let's study and let's contemplate on God's goodness and God's great works that he has given to us. If you are any tonight that stand in need of the gospel's saving power, if you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel by hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus, and being baptized in water for the remission of sins. Let the Lord add you to his church. And all of these wonderful promises that we've just talked about, they can be yours to enjoy. You're already a child of God, but somehow you're not really studying. You're not really seeking out God's great works, all of the wonderful things that he's done for us. If we don't have pleasure in those things, I want to encourage you tonight to refocus your mind on what God has done for us. And by refocusing our mind, hopefully that will keep us in tune with God, obeying his will. So if you need to respond because you're repenting of an erring way, we want you to do that if you need prayer. Whatever your need is tonight, while we're standing and while we're singing, will you come?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.